You're on Mornings with Nadia Mitsopoulos on ABC Radio Perth.
Now, what happens when a parent makes a bad decision that affects not just themselves, but the whole family? Kim Crotty was working as a theatre manager in the United Kingdom when he separated from his partner and she moved cities with his two young sons. To remain close to his boys, Kim quit his job and followed. But along the way, he made a fateful decision that eventually led him into jail. Kim Crotty's story is now being translated onto the stage in a play that tackles head-on what happens when parents get it wrong and how to make it right again. It makes its world premiere in February as part of the Perth Festival, and Kim spoke to Joe Trilling. Hello, Kim.
Hi, Joe.
Firstly, can you take me back to the early 2000s when you were living in the UK? What kind of work were you doing then?
Well, I'd been working as a stage technician in music and rock and roll for some time. And then I took my first job in theatre at the Lyric Theatre in Hammersmith. And it really felt like I'd, you know, come home. It was wonderful. I'd collected a number of disparate skills and abilities, and theatre was the one place where I felt that they all belonged and it all made sense.
So you spent a number of years working in theatres, but then you decided to take a rather unusual direction in your career. What was that?
Well, I was the head of the stage department at Salisbury Playhouse when I quit my job and set up a grow house. And I began a career, a very short-lived career, in commercial cannabis production.
Was that legal in the UK at that time?
No, absolutely not.
What happened, Kim?
It was about 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night when I got a very loud bang on the door and I was arrested and sentenced to 2 years in prison.
But you had two young children at this time.
I did, yes. My two sons, Otto and Arlen, were 3 and 5 years old at that time. It kind of it just turned everybody's lives upside down, and it was probably more difficult for the boys and their mum than it was for me in many regards. It was a very difficult time for everybody. And of all the things that I missed the most, reading to my kids every night was the one that really kept me awake at night and made life very difficult for me. It's difficult to know, you know, what we would miss about our lives, and I certainly wasn't expecting that reading to my kids would be the thing that most devastated me at the time. But I would dream about it at night, dream of reading to my kids before bed. So I had to find a way to sort of maintain my relationship with my kids.
Were they able to visit you, Kim?
Yes, they did a number of times. It was much easier when I was in the Bristol prison because it's right in the middle of the city. But then when I was transferred to Dartmoor, it's a very long way away.
So how often were you able to see them?
About once a month.
Not a lot.
Not even once every month, maybe 2 months. But it was really awful because, you know, ordinary means of communication like telephone and writing letters are almost impossible for young children. You know, they don't speak well on the phone, and you know, my kids were just learning to read and write. You know, they'd scribble on the page and send it to me, which was lovely, but it just made me feel all the more isolated. And of course, the visits were terrible because it's terrifying for the kids. It's a really awful experience for everybody. And I never felt further away from them when they were sitting across the table from me in the visiting room.
I've never been into a prison as a visitor. Mm-hmm. Is it like you see depicted on television and films, those sparse rooms you can't touch?
Yep, you know, the furniture's bolted to the floor and designed to be indestructible. You know, you're on camera and there's guards everywhere, and it's really difficult to sort of have a meaningful conversation or to talk about anything because people at the other tables next to you, guards walking around. So the kids were terrified, but I was just blown away that my kids were, you know, in the face of all of that negativity, in the face of, you know, because they were terrified to go inside these 20-foot razor wire fences and inside these massive gates and get searched as they come in. And I was really, really moved that they would do that just to see their dad, just to come and visit me for half an hour and then have to spend 3 hours driving home again.
Kim, how did you manage? What did you try to do to retain that connection with your boys?
Well, after I realised that those three ways of connecting with the boys, the phone, the letters and the visits, were just really painfully awful, I was kind of inspired by the fact that I was dreaming about reading to my kids every night and about that sort of, you know, just that closeness, that shared experience of reading from a book. which is where the title of the play, The Smallest Stage, comes from, because reading to children isn't just reading a passage of text. You know, parents perform. They do the voices and they add all the emotions to the children's first theatre experience.
Absolutely. Some of those books are imprinted in my brain, those
Absolutely,
narratives, because
yeah.
they want the same book over and over and over.
Yeah, that's right. And this is the metaphor for the that became the title of the play, The Smallest Stage. So I'd never written a children's story before, but I thought I'd give it a try. And so I wrote Arlie Loves to Draw, because my younger son, Arlie, he did. He was forever drawing on things that he was not supposed to be drawing on. That was the first story. And then I wrote another one for my older son, Otto. And to be honest, Joe, I thought that would be it. I thought I'd just write these two stories and basically say, hey, I love you, I'm thinking of you. But the kids wanted more. In the end, I ended up writing 47 children's stories for my kids.
What an endeavour.
Yeah, I guess it kind of it kept me sane while I was in prison. There's a lot of incredible artists and people doing amazing things in jail. I mean, this was the one thing that sort of kept me present and kept me grounded.
Kim, your sons, Otto and Arlie, are now 13 and 15. You ended
yes,
up being
are.
Deported back to Australia.
I did, yes.
And they followed?
They actually arrived here before I did. They arrived back in Australia in February and I arrived in April 2012.
And Otto and Arlie are now strapping young men.
They are. Otto is taller than me and Arlen is just about.
And Kim, they are now working on this production that is about to hit the stage. How does that feel to see your story realised on stage and to have your boys part of that journey?
I really love it, Joe. I wrote these stories to connect with my sons, and they continue to do so today. They chose one of the stories, the Tales of Superfish, to animate, and they did the stop motion animation for that, for the entire story, and recorded all the voices for it, and did a lot of voice acting for other animated sections of the play as well. So it's really been wonderful to have them involved in the development, and soon to be in the rehearsals of the play.
Kim, it's a remarkable story. Mm-hmm. Just give people a sense of what you'll actually see on stage. Is this for kids to come and see too, or just for adults?
Absolutely, it's for kids to come and see. This is one of the toughest issues that we've dealt with in the creation of this play. We wanted to make it a work for adults and for kids, which presents a number of problems when we're dealing with adult concepts like drugs and imprisonment and a parent making bad decisions that affect they didn't just affect me, they affected my partner and my kids. We wanted to tackle that head on, so it's for adults and kids.
I'm speaking to Kim Crotty, who has written and is the co-creator of a new play. It's called The Smallest Stage, and it'll make its stage debut as part of the Perth Festival. Just finally, Kim, what have your boys said to you about that time when they were little boys and you were in jail and then the man you are now?
I think that period and the way that we approached it at the time, because, you know, my kids were 3 and 5 years old, I could have told them anything, Joe, and they would have believed me. But rather than doing that, I was open with them and admitted that I'd made a mistake and had done something really terrible. And after having done something that wrong and facing those consequences, then I then had to make it right. It was a very steep learning curve for all of us. But I think if you ever meet Otto and Arlen, you'll realise how valuable that's been for all of us, particularly our relationship together today is the way it is because of that grounding in openness and honesty and admitting when you get things wrong and going, oh, okay, so I don't know everything. Perhaps we can work together and deal with this appropriately.
That was writer Kim Crotty speaking to Joe Trilling about the time he spent in jail. A very candid and honest interview. Of course, he was away from his young sons and talked about what happens when a parent makes a bad decision that affects the whole family. Now, if you want to see this play, you can do that. It's called The Smallest Stage. It's on at the State Theatre Centre from the 23rd of February until the 27th.